It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse 1 and read from verse 1 through verse 8. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through verse 8. And so please that you would open your Bibles and follow along with us. I'd like to share with you while you're doing that that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call, the phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. That's 847-2717. If you would like to contact us by email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check our website, and please do so, many studies constitute our Constitution, Plan of Salvation, all is there. And you can find that at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Romans chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall all seed be called, that is, they which are the children of flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And we're going to end the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious study. I just ask that you would guide and lead us through your precious word today. We need your direction. We must be led by the Spirit of God as we're studying your word to understand the truth and receive it properly, rightly divide it. And so please today that, Father, that you'll send your Spirit, that he will direct us. Every individual that is truly born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within their heart. Father, we just ask today that the Spirit of God will come and convict the heart and bring them to a point of repentance, turning away from their way, turning to you, dear Father, receiving you as their Savior and walking each day serving you. So please, dear Lord, please, that today would be the day that they would be born again and begin to walk and fellowship together with you and once for the first time truly have life. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us today and help us to enjoy the study and just be a transform our lives to being as you are. Please guide and lead us now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these scripture verses here, I would like just for a moment to back up and review just a little bit concerning some scripture verses that we studied the last time we were together. And I'm going to read from verse 35 through 39 because I want you to see and to know when you come by faith to Jesus, how secure you are in Jesus Christ, what he does for you. It's all about him. It's not about us. What is important with you and with me, and that is that we have trusted in Jesus as our Savior. We truly are born again. Once you're born again, then you're secure and you're kept. Now, I'm going to read here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, and just a quick review, and then we'll get on to the study today. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, I'm going to make this very clear. In order for us, who can separate us from the love of Christ? You need to be born again. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved us. For us to have that connection and have his love and his power is for us to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And that's how we can come to the place of the security of a believer. Who shall separate us from the love of God? You must receive the gift of salvation to attain, to have the love that God has so blessed us with his precious grace. So when you read that, don't think that it's a universal salvation, because salvation is dependent upon you coming by faith to Jesus and trusting in him as your personal Savior. You must be born again. And so please don't miss that. And then all the things that we read there, he will keep you secure and safe for eternity. What a promise, never to be separated from him again. But if you've not come by faith to Jesus, you are separated right now. Sin has separated you from the presence of God. So please come by faith to Jesus and be born again. I say the truth in Christ. Once again, we're back to chapter 9, verse 1. I lie not, my conscience also bear me witness of the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What Paul is talking about here is, he has such a desire for his brethren. Now, I'm talking about Israel. I'm talking about the Jews. Paul had such a love for the Jews, for Israel, that the Scripture tells us that if it were possible, I would separate myself from the presence of God. I would separate myself. I would be lost. If I could, he can't. But that's the love that he had for his brethren, and the heaviness, the heartache that he had because, you see, they weren't listening. They were not listening to him. They were going back to their old ways. They were going back under the law, and he could not get them to move forwards and recognize that all the sacrifices, all the offerings, the tabernacle, the temple, all those things pointed to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those was pointed towards Jesus. Every offering and every sacrifice that was made all spoke of Jesus. And you see, they missed it. They held on to their old tradition and their old laws, and they missed Jesus as their Savior. What a sad, sad day, and that just broke Paul's heart. You see, Paul was one of them. Paul was like them. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was taught by the best as far as Jewish law is concerned. He thought he was fine until on the road to Damascus that one day when that light shined down upon him and he realized and recognized that he was a sinner and he needed Jesus as his Savior. And he was born again. And boy, he turned and completely about and began to testify of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was living within him. And what a glorious and great day that was. But it is so sad so very, very sad because, you see, they weren't listening. His brethren, the Jews, were not listening. And Paul said, I would give anything. I would even have God turn his back on me. I'd be accursed if they would just listen. And, you know, today is the same way. When you're raised without the gospel, and then the gospel comes, and those that you went to church with, or those that you were, some of you may have been involved in a cult somewhere, and when you got saved, then it was a glorious time, and you wanted all of them to open their eyes and see what you can see now. And as Paul says, I say in the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bear me witness of the Holy Spirit, that my heart is broken because you won't listen. And I'm the same. Those that were in my past, I would give anything that they would be born again, that they would come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Let's go back here, because what they are holding on to, back in Exodus chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, and what has happened, they have left, been given salvation. It was promised through Abraham. It was promised back with Adam when the offering of the sacrifices were made for Adam and Eve. But then that promise was renewed with Abraham, and then with Isaac and Jacob, and then Jacob had the 12 sons, and that's the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes. And then they were, from the time that Abraham went down into Egypt the first time, and then to the point when Moses was called of God to bring them out of Egypt, that was about 400 plus years. Now let's read here in Exodus chapter 32, verse 31, 32. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. So you see, they, even when God delivered them out of Egypt, they did not turn unto God and praise him. They even made terrible statements like, was there no graves in Egypt? Why didn't you just let us die? You know, it wasn't so bad. They were slaves. They were slaves in Egypt. God delivered them out, and yet they still were not thankful. They still did not repent and turn unto the Lord. And instead of that, why, we have this place here in Exodus chapter 32 where they have made golden statues, and they have made things that was brought blasphemy and was totally against anything that God had offered them, and yet they still everybody wants to kind of build their own religion. And so, you know, you can find a church, and many of those things, places that we call churches, are cults, because they do not follow the Word of God. They use it from time to time, and then some have other books, some have other things they have added to it. Take the old King James Bible, stay with it, search it, study it. First come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be born again, and then you'll have the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, to lead you through his precious word. So please, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And this great sin that they'd committed, it angered God so much, but Moses stepped in between. He became their advocate, and he stood between, and he said, please, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee. And God did. Look at verse 33. The Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. What a sad, sad day. They made that golden calf. And God did hold them responsible. But the nation as a whole, those that were responsible for it, he held responsible. But God forgave this forgiveness that was asked by Moses in verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, of this people have sinned a great sin, have made the gods of gold, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, he pleads for their repentance. And God, you know, you repent, God will accept your repentance, your turning to him. So please, trust in him. But Moses offered the same thing that Paul offered over here in chapter 9, and I want you to see that. What a great burden that Moses had for the nation of Israel, and what a great burden that Paul had many years later, 1,500 years later, for the same nation, the nation of Israel. It continues here in the fourth verse, and it tells us, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? And this leads right on from the rest of it. Let me read it together so we don't separate it. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. It just continues there. And it says, whose are the fathers, and to whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. We have in these two verses, we have eight listings of how great an opportunity that the nation of Israel had. It tells so clearly the opportunity and the light that they had. Pertaineth the adoption is the first. Pertaineth the glory the next. Then the covenants. Then the law. The service of God. The promises. And do you realize who's the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All the light that they were given, and you have followed them, and then understand that to whom Christ came. In other words, through that seed, Mary, and not through man, but born of a woman, a virgin, Mary, and Jesus Christ took on flesh and lived here for 33 years. And Paul is connecting all this. Look at everything that you have had and received, the special promises from God that no one else received, and yet you're still rejecting. And as we look, it says, as concerning the flesh, or so far as regarding the flesh. In other words, Jesus took on the body, the flesh took on the body of a man. As Christ was not entirely... as we look from Israel here, but had another nature. He was God Almighty, and yet he was still flesh. But different from any man, his flesh was perfect. And he came to lay down his life that we might be saved. What a promise. What a promise. As Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, and an Israelite today, a Jew today, would know of which family they are a part of. Well, Jesus, he came to this earth. And Jesus, when he was born, again, born of the Virgin Mary, perfect. His blood was perfect. He was physically perfect and yet had that flesh as we have it, but it was sinless. He never had sinned. Now, as we look on to these verses now into verse 6, it says, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." You see, as Paul speaks, he tries to, by the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit, to bring folks from the place of calling a name. In other words, I'm a Jew. My descendant is Abraham. And that's what these scripture verses are telling us. That's not enough. Or because our name is not listed with Israel, that doesn't keep us away from salvation. Salvation is brought to the Jew and to the Gentile. But just because your name is Israel or is Jew, is of one of the 12 sons, if you're one of the tribe of Israel and you're holding on to that, it's just like if you're holding on to a certain name of a church that you attend or a cult that you're a part of and you've been duped into thinking that that is everything is that's all I need because they tell me that I'm going to have this blessing and get this blessing if I just follow the rules of the church. You need to follow the rule of God, which is it's His Word, and nothing else. That's the only thing that's going to bring you salvation. There is churches, there is cults out there that have changed the Word of God to meet their desires. And when you do that, salvation is not yours. You must come by faith of the Lord Jesus and be born again. And once you're born again, then He will lead you through His precious Word. But do not be duped by all these mega churches and all these things that are going on. Please find the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus and then find a local Bible-believing, soul-winning church that will help not only you to grow, but also then your family, that they would be saved, that they would be born again. And so please don't be duped by them telling you that because you have joined this church, now you're fine, because you're not. If you would just come and join Parkview Bible Church and that's all, you're not fine. You can join the church. You can your name could be written on the rolls. You could be scripturally baptized, go down into the water and come back up. And if you neglect calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, being born again, if you neglect that, it doesn't matter who or where that you attend, you're lost and you're condemned and you're going to go to hell. Now, I want you to be born again. I want you to be saved. I want you to find a good church that you can grow in. I want you to do that. But don't just come to that church or that place and think that's enough. There is a personal relationship that you must have with Jesus Christ. And I want you to trust in the Lord Jesus today and be born again. Once again, I'm going to read verses 4, 5, 6, 7, go all the way down through there. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. And not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Not all that was born to Abraham. Ishmael. Seed didn't go through Ishmael. The promise went to Isaac. The promise went to Isaac. And it says, that is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Because you are an Israelite, because you are a Jew, because your father is Abraham, you need to come by faith to Jesus. Because Paul is telling you so clearly, a Jew to a Jew, an Israelite to an Israelite, is saying, please come by faith to Jesus. Now, all the offerings and the sacrifice that are spoken of the Old Testament are all pointing towards the coming of the Messiah. Yes, it was a work that they needed to perform, but that work didn't save them. It was the faith that they had in that work. They believed that this was a picture of the Messiah that was coming. And so that's how they had Abraham. It was accounted to him for righteousness. What was counted? He believed. He was saved, born again, just like you and I are born again. And you need to be saved yourself. Just because, again, you're of a church, a certain church membership, you have went there all your life, you were baptized there, your families were all baptized there. If you have neglected the salvation of the Lord, you are lost and you're condemned. You are condemned already, the Scripture tells us. So please, that you would listen carefully. Listen prayerfully today, that you would come by faith to the Lord Jesus, no matter what your nationality, no matter what church you're attending or what cult you're involved in, or if you're an atheist and you don't believe anything. The only way that you're going to live and the only way that you can have the joy of salvation and the joy of life is to be born again, and that comes through Jesus Christ, period. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be born again. It doesn't matter if you're an Israelite. It doesn't matter what church you belong to, including this one. If you would come and join this church and not acknowledge the Lord Jesus as your Savior, not be born again, not be saved, you're going to go to hell just as fast as if you've never walked inside a church. You must be born again. And you can come here and you can sit and you can smile and you can sing the hymns and you can work and you can do everything. But my dear friend, if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's of no value. You're wasting your time. Our works are as filthy rags. That's the way God looks upon our works. So please, that you stop working your way to heaven, because it's not going to make it. You need to come by faith. You need to trust in the grace of God. You need to believe that Jesus Christ lived for 33 years. He was tried and convicted falsely. But he was taken out and hung on a tree, a cross, nailed to that cross, and he died. He died for your sins and for mine. He took all those sins to that cross that day, 2,000 years ago, and died for you and for me. But my dear friend, the story doesn't end there. The story ends 3 days later. And actually, it doesn't end there. It just begins there. Because they rolled that stone away that Sunday morning, and he wasn't in there. He had risen. The Lord has risen. The angel said, "Why you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He's alive. And he is alive today." And that's the reason I said it surely isn't the end of the story. It's just the beginning. Because my life, I enjoy every day living for Jesus, knowing the Lord Jesus, walking with the Lord Jesus, trusting in him. And he helps me in every avenue of my life. I praise Him. I thank Him. Please, my dear friend, don't trust in your name. Don't trust in your church. Trust in Jesus. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?